Omens in the Guise. Yes, that is an awful, awful entry song for the newly formed Bullet Club. I guess that's what they're
called.
No, they're
just the club.
They're just the club.
They're the club.
That's ridiculous. Well, that lovely voice, of course, is my partner, Sean. I'm Benny. And, of course, on Blah Blah Sports, the WWE edition, we are always joined by a regular character on the show, Steve Koltis. Before we get into how everyone's doing really quick, let's just agree that Payback was an amazing show. That was a very good show. I would say that was three times the show that WrestleMania was, this year's WrestleMania was. And really quickly, before we get in and get into Payback, the build-up to Payback was really good as well. So, like, everything about the WWE now looks like it's going in a good direction, but, of course, Sean, ever pessimistic, kind of has...
Hey, if you want our thoughts on that, listen to our last episode where we talked about everything going into Payback.
Yes, but, of course, now we're doing a review of Payback, and, of course, we're going to start with Sean. Sean, how are you doing?
I am good.
So what was your opinion on the pre-show? We had Dolph Ziggler versus Baron Corbin and Kalisto defending the United States title against Ryback.
I thought the pre-show was okay. The Baron Corbin Ziggler match was what it was. It wasn't great. It wasn't awful, but you know, it was there. I was surprised to see Ziggler win, but obviously the feud's continuing. So I guess they got to get their 50-50 in somehow.
The Ziggler decision baffled me a little bit, but go on to Kalisto Ryback.
I'm not baffled. I mean, he after all, Baron Corbin is an NXT guy. You see what happens to NXT guys. And I thought the U.S. title match was actually really good. I thought both guys worked really fast, really hard, and I was surprised by some of the stuff that Ryback was pulling off. I love the CM Punk thing that he did when he came out mocking the Chicago crowd.
He's kind of developed a really cool like troll Ryback character.
I guess you could say that, but of course, Chicago, him and CM Punk have some issues. And also the weightlifting belt that he was wearing, the pre-show stopper, that was fun. Overall, I thought the U.S. title match was very surprisingly good. And that's what I have on the pre-show. Steve, what did you think of the pre-show?
Balding Cardboard and Dolph Ziggler, that happened. There was nothing special there. And I agree with you, Sean. I liked Ryback and Kalisto. I really, the CM Punk thing, as soon as he came out of some get down on one knee, I was like, no, he's not. No, he's not. And I was just immediately started
laughing.
And
the boos were so loud, you couldn't even hear him yelling, it's clobbering time.
I know. They got so mad. I loved it. I love that he knew he was in like a smark crowd and he just ate it up. I loved that.
Yeah, again, I appreciate the new troll-type character that Ryback does. But, of course, Kalisto winning. It was a fun match. Questionable decision to have Corbin lose to Dolph Ziggler. But I guess he's not ready until he gets hair plugs. All right, let's move to the main roster, where kind of let off with a somber tone. Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy, the Enzo and Cass, against the Vaudevillains. Ended in a no contest. Enzo, of course, gets a concussion. Our well wishes to Enzo. Hopefully he has a speedy recovery. But we can try to dissect that match, but in only 4 minutes, not a lot happened, but we did see some good things. The Vaudevillains, I actually had never seen their entrance. And their entrance is really cool.
That's interesting.
I seen them in the ring. I've seen them perform in the ring, but I've never seen them actually enter. And that was kind of a unique entrance. I kind of liked it. Do we want to talk a little bit more of this match, or do we want to roll into the next one?
I mean, other than just talking about how scary the whole thing was, I know, Steve, you were I was a little behind on the feed, and Steve, you were texting me as it was going on, and I was like, did something happen? Because I hadn't gotten there yet, and I was like, did something happen? And you were like, oh, I won't tell you what it is, but you'll know when you see it. And I was like, oh, shit, what's going to happen? And it looked really bad. Luckily, it's only a concussion, so he just has to pass the impact test and he'll be good to go. But
when he first hit the ground, I texted Steve and I said, I thought he was dead. I like the way his head bent. I thought he broke his neck and maybe hit the ground and that caused something to pop out. And I was like, oh, my God, did I just witness that? But then I thought to myself, no, he's got to be we're definitely on some form of a delay. That he couldn't have died, but I thought at worst, it was a broken neck. At best, maybe it was a mild concussion. But, Steve, you definitely saw it. You saw it before all of us. So what was your immediate reaction?
My sister and I were watching, and I immediately thought of Rey Mysterio and Sean. His name's Paraguayo. What's his name?
Paraguayo.
Yeah, I immediately thought of Paraguayo. I immediately thought of when he died, because it just when I didn't watch because when I saw it slow motion, I saw that the rope kind of flung his head back and he hit the mat real hard and it knocked him out. But when I first saw it happen real fast, I thought the rope kind of like yanked his neck, and I just immediately assumed the worst. But my sister and I were legitimately concerned, and also when I saw Big Cass's reaction to seeing how hard he lost it, I was like, this cannot be good. But thank God it was just a concussion. Not good, but way better than it could have been. And bada bing, bada boom, realest guy in the emergency room.
Yeah, and it was also weird because like they kept the cameras on the announcers the whole time.
I didn't like that.
Which was
I didn't
odd.
Like that. That made me nervous.
Which was odd.
It made me nervous.
And they also kept showing replays of it too. I'm like, why are you showing replays of it and then not showing him on the ground? You know what I mean? Like it was weird to keep showing it over and over again.
Yeah, I think part of that kind of leads back to the fact that WWE's not always prepared to do something along the lines of that when it's a real injury. They kind of don't know how to react.
I mean, it's a very hard situation.
It's a hard situation. Well, like, of course, like we'll apply it to like the NFL, Sean, where like you see an injury on the field, they cut to the guy. But I think with the WWE is like they're so cautious in showing something like that, especially if it's gruesome. They'll show the replay, but after a while, they'll realize, oh, this he's seriously hurt. We got to kind of detract from this. I thought, like, also, they showed the replay later in the show, did they?
Oh, tons of times. Even on Raw, they kept showing it.
They showed it at least 10, 15 times on the show. Also, quick note that I wanted to say, my sister and I went back because we didn't realize it, but Kofi was live streaming to his WWE Facebook the match, because you know how they were sitting ringside kind of joking around with the beanbags. Kofi was live streaming the match from his phone to his Facebook, and we went back and watched it. And when Enzo gets knocked out, you hear Big E go, and he completely swears, says, this is f-ing bad, and then the thing cuts out. But he swears, and you can hear him say, no, that's bad. And the camera just cuts out, and it was really, like, scary, because Big E sounded like, he wasn't his normal, like, you know, jovial self. He sounded very, very concerned.
But, yeah, I thought, like, at first when I saw the vaudevillains try to grab him, I thought, oh, it's a work. He's okay. But it didn't look right.
All right, let's kind of transition into Kevin Owens and Zayn here. First things first is this match was absolutely fantastic. But it's really cool because we can literally watch these two guys fight for the next, like, 10 years, and it just will always be entertaining because they always do new and just amazing things in the ring. Their chemistry is through the roof. And again, if there's one match that I could see being that featured match the WWE likes to go back to over dozens of years, this is another one of those matches where you have Kevin Owens, who's becoming kind of like that Bret Hart, that unbelievable technician in the ring, great wrestler, and just putting on show-stopping match after show-stopping match. But Steve, I want your opinion on this match really quick.
This match was one of the greatest I've ever seen. I was riveted from beginning to end. You can tell these guys have you can tell the chemistry these guys have. They've known each other for so long, and they know exactly what each one's capable of and how far they can push it. And it just shows their work rate is phenomenal. If anything, this shows Vince why NXT is fantastic and why he really needs to start taking it a little bit more seriously, because I've heard a few rumblings that he doesn't quite take NXT as seriously as he should. But I won't go into long. But that match was like 4 out of 5 stars, like high 4. It was amazing.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was really, really good. I still would put the first match that they had over top of that one. In NXT. I mean, if you're judging by the three that they've had in WWE, this would probably be number 2. But no, it was really good. They worked a really fast, quick pace. There was never like a stale point in the match. And I really like how it was just a clean heel finish. Like the heel won without having to use any weird tactics, and the feud will continue. And that's exactly what I wanted out of it. And that's what they gave me. So I was happy.
Yeah, we all kind of went into this match with the fear that they were going to give Sami Zayn another. They were going to book this 50-50, and you just can't do that with this rivalry because this is just. This is unlike anything that WWE has kind of experienced before. Before, they normally would never reference what they've done before they came to the WWE. They're kind of doing that. They're kind of talking about these guys grew up together. They kind of became almost essentially brothers, and this is more than just – this is deeper than blood, if there's even that. This is like a soul feud. This is like soul versus soul, not just person versus
They're
person.
Referencing it without actually referencing it.
It's amazing, and we talked about how this match just blended together. Well, it kind of triculated right into the next match, which is the Intercontinental Championship, The Miz and Cesaro. Now, of course, this one was a unique finish because it's going to lead to what's going to happen at the next pay-per-view. But a really quick, Sean, Miz versus Cesaro, how entertained were you by this match?
I thought it was a pretty good match considering Miz's standards. I like the finish. I thought that it was good. You get the heel gets the the face gets the visual win with him tapping out, and then the heel rolls him up and grabs the tights and with the distraction of Owens and Zayn. I thought it was good putting the two matches back to back together on the card, so you could continue the Owens and Zayn story without having it be unbelievable, like, oh well, what took him so long to get out there again. But I thought it was good, and I'm kind of looking forward to the four-way that they're setting up for the next pay-per-view.
Now, before I go to Steve, do we know if there's going to be a stipulation attached to this four-way aside from just being a championship?
Does it need to be? I mean, I know it's Extreme Rules, but, like, does it need to be?
Aren't all matches at Extreme Rules matches?
It used to be that way.
Yeah.
I believe in the most recent years, it's not every match, but a lot of them do.
That's what I thought, yeah.
I still like your idea, Sean, of having a Hollywood backlot brawl match. That would be cool.
Oh, well, you can't do that with four guys, unfortunately.
You can't do it with two other guys that really don't have any involvement with the stipulation itself.
And you also have to be, like, in California to do that.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense for them to fly out a camera crew to go to L.A. and then do that and then have a pay-per-view in, where is it, New Jersey.
Yeah, I don't know. I still like the idea of doing that. But all right, so Steve, Miz versus Cesaro. Obviously, I think we're all going to agree the finish was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, no, I love this match too. I was just as into this as I was into Owens and Zayn. It wasn't as good, obviously, but it was still really good. And I have to say, I'm really digging this whole 00 Cesaro character he's got going. I like. The entrance is cool, and it fits him, and I like a reserved hitmanish, like a guy with a unique set of skills, kind of like type character on Cesaro. It fits him, and I like that he took the whole like ripping off the suit thing from The Rock at Mania, and he kind of like made it his own thing.
Yeah, you're kind of right in a way. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, The Rock did that at Mania, and then he did it the night after Mania, and he's just been running with
he
it ever
stole
since.
His gimmick.
What the hell, Cesaro? Jeez.
Speaking of something else we liked, we have Dean Ambrose versus the sociopath Chris Jericho. Another, we talk about how great some of these matches were booked. It's another great match, a good build-up, kind of a sideshow versus sideshow. You have the Ambrose Asylum versus the highlight reel.
It could be worse. Steve, they could be feuding over a shampoo commercial.
Oh, that would be stupid. They could be feuding over a they could be feuding over a potted plant, but that's not really the case. They're feuding over.
It will be.
Oh, it will be. But I fully expect. Of course, you know, we assume they're getting a rematch at Extreme Rules. I fully expect someone to get hit with a potted plant here. But
well, they
Steve,
did.
Again.
Again. Okay.
They would do it again. Steve, your opinion on Ambrose and Jericho?
I like this match too. It was good. It's actually funny you say sociopath Jericho because after what he's been doing, he's been being a heel lately, obviously. But after what he was doing on Raw with Ambrose, he bashed him with the pot, and then got on his like hands and knees, and was like whispering in his ears and stuff. I was like, I mean, Chris Jericho's a heel, but he's getting like almost like 2004 Kane-ish with Ambrose now. Sean, you know what I'm talking about when Kane was like
Steve,
extra creepy.
He's not going to kidnap someone and rape them into giving them a child, okay? That's not going to happen.
That's true. I mean, with Jericho's dad bod and how small he is, I don't think that would work anyway. But regardless, this match was good, and I liked it. It was good.
Now I totally know what you mean. I think the idea is that he's trying to get on Dean's level because he's so crazy that he's
trying to show him he's not as crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, that like you know you think you're crazy. Well, look what I can you know. That kind of thing. I thought the match was pretty good. There was a few stumbles. I thought the finish was a little awkward.
It was like he didn't take that. Although he wasn't ready for Dean to put up his knees on that lion salt.
Well, more so like when they went into the dirty deeds at the end. I know what they were going for. It just came off awkward, you know. And you know, I feel like I really feel like they will excel if they have some sort of gimmick match. I personally would not be shocked if they put him in a cage. I think that they would excel better in an environment like that as opposed to, you know, just some random, you know, grappling match that they have on the pay-per-view. But I thought it was good overall.
The reason I call Chris Jericho a sociopath is more because of what I saw in the Styles feud where it was like the AJ Styles. It was like you kind of saw him get a little crazy, and of course we're seeing that now with Ambrose. So I kind of like what they're doing. Like, this is not the typical heel Chris Jericho. It's kind of cool. But of course, this is a feud that's going to put Dean Ambrose over and eventually propel him towards the title. Hopefully, cross your fingers.
Yeah.
This next match kind of, in my opinion, took a step back. I didn't really like the finish of it, but the WWE Women's Championship match.
Oh.
I believe this is the first actual title defense, if I'm correct. Yeah, it's the first official title defense of the WWE Women's Championship. Charlotte with Ric Flair, Natalya with Bret Hart. Cool to have the Flair-Hart aesthetic to it, but why did we have to have a Montreal Screwjob reference?
Because Bret was there.
It doesn't make it like
that's why.
WWE needs to let him know that, hey, you may be prostate cancer, but we still are going to screw you over.
That was such a, like, it was a good match up until that point. Like, it was typical, it was solid.
It was, yeah. I mean,
it was typical Charlotte. Kind of, she kind of works a little bit tight, and then you have Natalya. She's kind of a little bit not stiff, but she's more of a technician. And you have
they've had better matches between the two of them before. The NXT match was really great. The Roadblock match was good too. This was just okay.
Yeah.
But the finish made it really, really just stand out as this is not great. You know.
Stupid.
And let's be honest.
That was a stupid, stupid decision.
And I knew that they weren't going to follow up with it, and they kind of didn't really on Raw. Like they were just like, oh yeah, you didn't have anything to do with it. And then Charles Robinson go, no, I mean yes, I mean no. Like it was solely just because Bret was there, and they wanted to poke fun at him. And at this point, Bret he doesn't care. It doesn't matter to him what they do. And he didn't care going in.
Yeah, he didn't. It was known that he didn't. Like, he was only doing this because of Natalya.
He didn't want to be there. No,
he didn't want to be there to begin with. Of course, who would want to be there after you've just battled prostate cancer? And he's kind of a little bit of an introvert as it is. So why would you want to put him ringside and embarrass him?
Well, and clearly, you know, they wanted to have some sort of, you know, screwy finish so that they could go to the rematch. I just feel like it could have been done a better way.
It could have been done a much better way.
Could have been a much better way. But all right, so Sean, that's your opinion. Steve, Charlotte, Natalya, Chicago. Are we calling this the Chicago screw job, or are we not?
We're not calling it anything.
we'll call this a terrible finish because that's what it was. This match was – I had no problem with this match until the ending. That's really all I have to say about it. The ending stuck. It stuck real bad.
Yeah, I think to an extent we've seen where WWE has improved with a lot of their matches and the way they booked things, but you still see aspects of Vince McMahon. And
they got to learn how to book the divas consistently.
Yes. They got to learn to book the women's wrestlers a little bit better. And I also, again, stop the 50-50 booking. Ziggler did not need to beat Corbin. All right. Moving
or
to
maybe
the main
he
event.
Did.
I heard, you know what? I did hear a really cool explanation as to why Corbin lost, and it was this fan theory that. Well, yeah, the hairline. There's a lot of holes that need to be plugged there. I'm going to keep bringing up hair plugs. But one of the interesting things I heard about Baron Corbin is that if you've kind of noticed, he when he does his matches, he taunts a lot because his matches are normally kind of drabbed out and slow, and he needs to get the crowd into it, so he just does a taunt. But one fan's rationale for it was that Baron Corbin believes he's a lot better than his opponents, and that's why he loses some big matches like this. And I thought, okay, that's kind of an interesting character angle.
But he just came up.
You don't do that when he just comes up. You do that after he beats down some couple, not even calling them jobbers, but like haven't beat like a Zack Ryder, haven't beat like a Mizdow.
His winning streak was 3 weeks.
not even that, because it was a draw, and then draw, and then I don't remember he beat.
Don't try thinking about it. You're gonna hurt yourself.
I'm hurt myself. But like he should have gotten a pay per view win here. And then maybe, they could have been better. But anyway, speaking of better, Roman Reigns, in one of his greatest matches I've ever seen.
Oh, you guys don't want to talk about the McMahons getting equal power?
Oh, we don't. I mean, Shane and Steph have control of Raw. Bang. That's as long as it needed to be.
I got a kick out of the crowd chanting CM Punk to Vince.
Oh, yeah. He got mad about that, too. He got pretty fired up to that. It's pretty funny.
Yeah,
they did it again when Stephanie was out. I think they started chanting again when Stephanie was out there, and he was like, "Show her some respect." And I'm like this guy literally, you cannot put him near a microphone.
I think it was just that the Chicago crowd. This is the first time Vince has been live in front of them since that happened 2 years ago, and they've never gotten the chance to do it. So they just decided to do it then.
At first he was trying to play it off. We should note that at first he was trying to keep his calm, and then it kept going. And then you saw him get physically and mentally frustrated.
I just want to point out, if when we do the year-end review awards, if this is not my worst storyline of the year, I will be very surprised.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Sean. That was bad.
I'm just waiting for another Summer Rae love triangle. Anyway, all right. So that promo went about 40 minutes too long. They could have just had Vince McMahon come out and just say, "All right."
Oh, it was so long. It was like 20 minutes long.
I thought it was longer. It felt like it was like 50 minutes.
No,
like
it was 20 minutes, but it was like, it felt so long.
Stephanie has this cool superpower of when she talks, she makes it feel like it's like four times longer than it actually is.
Well, because she pauses after every word. She goes, "Shane McMahon." And you're just like, just say it, Stephanie. Just say it, for the love of God.
That's what her.
But I will
does.
Say the one redeeming quality was when Shane was running through the PowerPoints of things. It's kind of cool to see some of the articles. I assume a couple of them might have been manufactured, but
no,
they were all legit. They were all legit.
I thought the fourth one was manufactured, but I guess that was real.
Oh, which one was that one?
It just said SR. It was a very generic logo on it.
Oh, that's Bleacher. I think that's Sports Report by Bleacher.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I read them a decent amount. They're not good.
Okay. That was cool. I actually kind of enjoyed that. But when they blur the lines between reality and a work, it's definitely interesting. All right, so let's go to this main event. Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, no disqualification. I guess it became a no disqualifications match. For the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
Well, first he had the count out, and then Shane came. It was basically just so that they could insert Shane and Stephanie into the match. They had the no, Shane came out and made it no count out. And then once the DQ happened, Stephanie came out, had a one up him, go no DQ. So there you go. Explanation.
I would like to touch on, what is this new era that they keep talking about? Is this the new era? Like, what are we entering right now?
The era of a new era.
Because they said it at the beginning of the show, and then when Shane came out to restart the match with no countouts, he mentioned it too. He said, "This is not how we do things in the new era."
Yeah.
And I was just sitting there thinking, I was like, "So the new era starts now at Payback?"
I thought it started in 1995.
Yeah, I was very confused by that, but
the next generation.
I feel like this is the WWE trying to like transition between like, okay, we had the ruthless aggression, then we had the what they call it, the era of reality.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's an actual term, but they're definitely trying to coin whatever this is now.
Yeah, they're trying to go into an edgier, a new edgier way. Obviously,
I don't say edgier. And they're still PG. But,
it's still PG, but it's getting a little bit of hair on its chest, I should say. And you're seeing that with some of the matches and the way they book things, and it's a little bit differently. You're getting fresh new matchups. Of course, some things are rather tradition. Some of the storylines are being recycled, but there's some new twists on them, and it's keeping people engaged. And this is definitely, if you're getting back into the WWE, this is definitely the time you want to do it. But I don't know. Maybe this is just they're trying to do like another. They're trying to pull away from the. I don't know what they called the last era after Ruthless Aggression, but this was definitely the match to do it because this was a phenomenal match. And I'm saying this about Roman Reigns, a guy that we on this show have many times reamed out and thrown under the bus and stomped on. And I will say that this was a match that didn't. It's not completely changed my opinion.
No.
But he's going in a good direction.
Well, go back and watch the match because that match was led by AJ. And
I was about to say the only thing that made Roman Reigns look good was AJ Styles. Because he sold everything Roman did. Like Roman was like the Hulk. Every move that he did, he made Roman look like he was a monstrosity.
You can't tell me if you put someone like
Rusev
in that match, yep. that and if they did the exact same spots, that it would have came off the same way.
It was all AJ. But just to AJ's credit, that shows how great he is to make someone as green as Roman look amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I
wouldn't call Roman green because that implies that he hasn't been wrestling for that long. I wouldn't say green because he's been in the ring for a while. I'm more just bad.
He's not finished. He's not a finished product. I feel like with Roman Reigns, whenever we're going to evaluate him from now on, there's always going to be like a level of incompleteness because we see the outline of a character. It's just there's nothing else there. It's just like it's an empty shell. Roman Reigns literally is like a create a generic wrestler. And you just gave him a cool outfit, but you never gave him anything else behind it.
I will say it's probably the best Reigns match that he's had. I mean, some people will probably say the Brock match was better. I think this one's
I would say the Brock match. I made the argument online that the only other match I see that was worth cheering for Reigns in was the Philly Raw when he beat
Sheamus. I'm not talking about cheering for him. I'm just saying in match quality. I think that this was.
I know what Sean means. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this was probably the best that he's had so far. And I will say that my one gripe, and as much as I love the spot with the forearm to the outside through the table, AJ hit the forearm three times in the match, and he couldn't put him away. Aren't we supposed to be establishing this as a finisher now?
Yeah, Roman took three phenomenal forearms. He took the big boot from Anderson and
the boot of doom.
Gallows. Yeah, the boot of doom from Anderson and Gallows. This guy.
Well, he was in a calf crusher too, wasn't he?
Yeah, but that's a submission though.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about submissions or anything. I just mean the guy took, I want to say, 5 to 6 finishers, I feel like. And he hits one spear on AJ, and that's the end of the match. That makes me so angry that they will put 6 finishers on this guy and he hits one and it's over. It's something about it's why like the wrestling community started to hate Cena because Cena would just take like an insane amount of punishment all of a sudden AA out of nowhere. Oh, he wins. Yeah. It's just like you can't put that many finishers on a guy and then have him just hit one and win. That just like, I mean, it makes AJ look weak as hell.
Yeah. Or it's not going to get that finish over if it doesn't put anyone down.
Yeah, exactly. Considering it already looks bad to begin with, just a jumping forearm is not the like strongest move ever.
No,
I do want to say, but one of the redeeming qualities about this match, and this is hopefully looking down the road, is that this is a match that benefited both wrestlers because again, we were kind of nitpicking that AJ looked rather weak. He did a very good job, and I feel like behind the scenes, they're going to notice that.
Yeah, I mean I was going to say, AJ didn't look weak. It's just like the fact that he couldn't finish Roman with three finishers didn't look good.
The forearm finisher, and Sean said it before, it's just it's not a great move.
Steve said that. But I question why have him kick out of so many if they're trying to get it over. Like, it's one thing if it's just one of his finishers, but it's a new thing that he's trying to get over. And I question why having them do that.
And they on the announce table they mention it a lot too. Yeah. They mention it a lot now,
he teased the Styles Clash as well.
He did. He had him ready for it. He just couldn't step over.
Yeah, and I do think he will hit it at some point, and Roman will kick out of it.
Yeah, of course, because he's the new John Cena.
Yeah,
his finishers just don't affect him for whatever reason.
Yeah, I wonder what's going to happen when Reigns faces John Cena.
Oh my God, the match that will never end.
That's gonna be a 40-minute match. It's gonna be because they're just gonna keep kicking out of each other's finisher.
AA spear,
Superman punch, AA five knuckle shuffle.
It'll be the same match that Cena and Rock was at WrestleMania 29.
Yes.
Oh, yes, for the love just kept of God.
Throwing each other's finisher at each other.
Fun note on the video game: when you play that match in the story mode, both people have unlimited finishers.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
So realistic.
It's true.
God.
But okay. So let's again. It was a very good main event. We can nitpick at it a little bit. At one point, the Usos come out. And kind of leading into Raw after that, the Usos kind of look like they're starting to go a little bit heelish with Reigns. I don't know if I'm noticing that, but
everyone is, though. It's like everyone other than AJ, you know?
The only babyface is AJ, yeah.
And also, I was reading something that they it's obviously not – it was more like a fan theory, but I would like if they rebranded Roman and the Usos and they just called them the Empire and the Usos wore like black and gray face paint and dressed darker and got rid of like the flashy colors.
Mm-hmm.
I would like that if they kind of made like a tweener stable with Roman and the Usos and just like, cause I mean, they already say Roman Empire all the time for Roman. So why not just call them
the Roman Empire. The Empire.
Yeah. Just call them.
That'd be pretty cool.
Roman might start wearing a cloak and breathing weird through an apparatus, but
don't tempt them.
Yeah. Be Darth Roman.
Seth Rollins. I'm here now.
Oh God.
I'm Bane. Reigns.
That's what's going to happen is Roman Reigns going to come out as Bane. But anyway, all right, so wrapping up Payback, opinions on it really quick. I thought it was an A-plus show. Sean, what was your opinion?
I can't go as high as an A-plus because some of the finishes were kind of wonky. I would go a solid B-plus, maybe A-minus, somewhere in there.
Okay. Steve, are you in agreement with Sean?
I'm in agreement with both of you. I would definitely say A minus for me. Definitely, it was one of the better pay per views I've seen in a while. And despite a few of the weird finishes, I left that pay per view thoroughly enjoying what I saw.
Yeah, like I kind of alluded to earlier, this definitely kicked the absolute snot out of WrestleMania. But all right,
a lot of things.
I'm pretty sure there's a Raw in there that probably could have been better than WrestleMania. But all right, looking ahead to Extreme Rules, already have some matches lined up for that. But of course, that'll be on the preview show, which will be coming up in, I believe, 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks, May 22nd. So that's the next time you're going to hear us talk about wrestling. But for now, that is it for us. Benny here. You can follow me on Twitter at the @BNP_Express. Steve, where can they follow you?
You can follow me at Saiyan Barbarian on Twitter, Saiyan Barbarian. And like I said last show, if you want to watch me be vain on Instagram and work out, my Instagram is EinherJar1991, EinherJar and the number 1991.
I will be greatly disappointed if you're not like doing some crazy workout. Like
If you want to watch my powerlifting progression, you can follow me on there.
Oh, man. Definitely have to look at that, as well as Sean, your social media.
Yes, on Twitter at @_BrackShow. Follow me there. Or B Square.
Or B Square.
Or as Big E says, if you're following me, unfollow me. I don't want your follows.
Speaking of square, next time we'll be talking about the squared circle.
I thought you were talking about yourself.
I'm a square. Oh, what a rip. Yes, but in a couple of weeks, we'll have the same cast of characters back. Jobo will be joining us more than likely as well. And we'll talk Extreme Rules coming up May 22nd. But for now, that does it for us here at Blah Blah Sports. Have a great night, everyone.